When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Who's there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is severely injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans and who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families.
The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America in so many ways. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institutes educating kids in K through 12 grades to help our nation keep its vow to never forget.
More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Thursday edition of the program. We're going to have some fun. Carol Markowitz is going to join us in the third hour, part of the Clay and Buck Podcast Network, New York Post writer. She wrote a great, I saw a great piece. She has a Substack. Buck, we'll talk about this a little bit in the third hour, about the conversations that Jewish people in America are having as the situation in Israel continues. What's that impact going to be? We'll talk about all that. But right off the top here, not far from the Clay and Buck studios in New York City, I guess technically we have three Clay and Buck studios now. We have the Miami version, where Buck Sexton is typically based. We have the Nashville area version, where I am typically based. And then we have the New York City base, where much of the crew is located. They're just off 6th Avenue, not far from Radio City Music Hall. For those of you who know New York City well, there's going to be a $25 million fundraiser for Joe Biden tonight, featuring Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden. If you donate $100,000, you can get your picture made with all three of them. I don't imagine that's very common to get your picture made, for those of you who are just history people, with three different either current or former presidents. I do think it's a little bit interesting that they're claiming that Donald Trump is a sexual predator, yet Bill Clinton is headlining the fundraiser and nobody has any issue with it at all. But all of the money, they are going to just throw money. Biden is going to be able to raise money the likes of which you have never seen before. And Buck, here's my thought on this. Fox News has a new poll out. Donald Trump, 5-point lead. It is the biggest lead that Donald Trump has ever had in any Fox News poll in history over Joe Biden right now. And there were a couple of things that stood out to me that I want to hit you with that I went through and looked at all the numbers in this poll that, to me right now, if you ask me a little bit over 7 months from Election Day, how is this race going to be determined? Here's what I think this comes down to. In the Fox News poll in October of 2020, right before the 2020 election, Joe Biden had a favorability rating, Buck, of plus 11, 55% favorable, 44% unfavorable. Donald Trump had a favorability of 44 and an unfavorability of 55. So minus 11, 22-point different in favor of Joe Biden. Now in March, all right, we've gone from Biden plus 22 in the last election to the current Fox News poll. Joe Biden is minus 21, 39% favorable, 60% unfavorable. Donald Trump is 45% favorable, 54% unfavorable. In other words, nothing has really changed with Trump. People, generally about 44, 45% of people like him, about 55% of people dislike him. Joe Biden's unfavorability has collapsed. That is, people now really dislike Joe Biden compared to when he won. I think that basically is the race. So my question for you, Buck, can they change this? Is it possible for Joe Biden to change his favorability? I think it's fair to say nothing's going to change with Trump. Everybody has already made their opinion. To me, the question of the race is, can Joe Biden get his favorability ratings up? What say you?
Well, I think that what you're seeing with the all-out fundraising effort and bringing together the most recognizable brands, I mean, you have to say Biden is one because he's the president, right? So everyone knows who Biden is, even though the fact that he has a political brand at all is sort of depressing for the country. But you've Biden, Clinton, Obama, they're all together raising money in New York City. This is what we've been saying all along, which is this is a machine election. Or rather, this is a brand election whereby people will be encouraged on the Democrat side to vote for a Democrat, and the fact that it's Biden is supposed to be effectively irrelevant, right? You're voting Democrat, you're not voting Biden. That's the way they're positioning this. And I think there's a chance you will even hear more, and the way they'll do this is they'll start to release this out into the press. You know how we talked here on the show, Clay, about it was that excellent piece, and it was with the Obama biographer. It was just in an interview where he talked about how Obama lives a stone's throw from the White House still, and also there's a constant coming and going of senior White House personnel to the Obama residence. You would think that would be a bigger story. I think that they may actually start to talk more about that, with the idea that, you know, it's not just that Biden could be president for four more years. It's the Hillary Clinton, it takes a village approach, right? You're going to get, you know, Clinton savvy. You're going to get Obama, you know, political insight, and you're going to have Joe Biden as the president. Like, they're going to try to package this as all of the wisest men and women of the Democrat Party are effectively on the ticket. And that's all a branding exercise. It's absurd. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I think that they're going to have to try to bolster the Biden ticket by making it all about the party and not about the individual, right? I mean, which is, I think, very different than what you had with Obama, where it was really about, it was like vote Obama and maybe you happen to be a Democrat or whatever, but they were really pushing the man. This time they're pushing the brand. And so can they do it? Of course, that's the, I don't know how much money is going to be spent on this election, probably $2-3 billion. So we'll call it the three or four billion dollar question, something like that. I will say that you mentioned this, and it's still making a lot of rounds online, Clay. Biden's mentions of Bidenomics.
Yes.
That chart from Axios. I pulled it just so we could just give folks some sense. July of 2023, he mentions it, or June of 2023, he mentions it 29 times publicly. Last month, he mentioned it one time, once.
And zero in February, two times in January. And the other interesting thing about that is, Republicans mentioned it 474 times. So talk about something blowing up in your face. Republicans have taken Bidenomics and run with it. Biden isn't mentioning it at all. Here's the other thing that I think this comes down to. So I think likability, I think Biden was able to win as the, you know, grandpa that you could trust in 2020. We all know it's BS now. That's collapsed. Here's the other thing. Are you better or worse off financially today than you were 4 years ago? 22% say they are better off. 52% say they're worse off. I think that's something that Trump is going to be able to hammer. And here, listen to these numbers, Buck. White people, 21% better off, 54% worse off. Black people, 29% better off, 54% worse. Hispanic, 22, 50. Independent voters, 18% better off, 59% worse off. Suburbs, no college, college grad, everybody is worse off by a massive amount. That's a Fox News poll that came out yesterday. To me, that is one that Trump can continue to hammer. Now, they're going to try to use COVID to argue that everybody's actually way better off, but I think most people don't blame Trump for COVID. And we've seen most people are not getting blamed no matter what for COVID, but COVID just kind of showed up in March of 2020 and Trump was president and it got worse with Biden in office.
It's interesting to look at this as a replay of the 2008 playbook in a sense, right? A lot of what Biden is doing, it isn't a repeat, but it rhymes, to borrow from the phrase about history, right? There's something very similar between how Biden is approaching his presidency and what we saw with the Obama administration. But when Obama came in, the first time around, he was able to say, with some credibility, Republicans, remember this? You'd say, you know, Republicans drove us into a ditch and I'm driving us out of the ditch, because you had a financial collapse that I think unfairly was blamed on Republicans because they've convinced people that Republicans are the party of the rich and the party of Wall Street. Actually not true. Democrats, by the numbers, are the party of Wall Street and the rich, but that perception,
as evidenced by the fundraiser that's taking place not far from Wall Street in New York City tonight.
I mean, the Republicans are now the party of the middle and upper middle class and the working class in a whole range of ways. People would argue that, of course, but in a whole range of ways. I just thought, even little things like this, though, to your "are you better off" question, Clay. You see the Dollar Tree raised its price cap to $7?
Yes.
So Dollar Tree is no longer Dollar Tree. It's $7 Tree. And if you were used to paying a dollar for everything, $7 at Dollar Tree feels like that's a hefty price tag. I'd also point to the numbers on immigration are staggering in terms of the importance, not just for Republicans where it's overwhelmingly the number one issue, but it's a big issue for independents as well. Democrats are living on another planet. I don't know if you saw this. I want to say it was a Siena poll. We're looking at so many polls these days, but their top three issues, two of their top three issues were gun violence and climate change. You know what number one was, right?
For Democrats?
Democrats. Safeguarding our democracy. Like, these aren't even things. What does that even mean? It has no meaning. This is a religious belief masquerading as a political belief. Safeguarding our democracy? This is, but I mean, that's their number one issue, Clay. Above the economy, above immigration, and you start to see how it is feeling like we're living in different countries. If Democrats want to say, I care the most about the economy, and I think that Biden will do a better job, I mean, I'd love to hear that explanation, but because basically, it's always the same thing, right? Rich people will be taxed more, more money will be distributed to the less rich. Socialism. That's what they'll offer for the economy. Instead, climate change is the, like, number three issue for Democrats? It's like we're not living in the same world.
I'm gonna keep hammering this home, because I know a lot of you parents, grandparents out there. Look at the population charts. Ultimately, I think you would agree with this, Buck. Having a kid is a vote for being confident about the future. If you go look at population, generally speaking, in economies that are in recession or where there is not a great deal of freedom, there are fewer births. And I'm talking about in an era when people can make rational choices about having children, right? Not some third world country where there's no education or ability. The population in every Western democracy is collapsing right now. And I hear all the time about climate change. By the end of this century, we're talking about population collapses, the likes of which no one is even mentioning. I'm serious.
Elon Musk. Elon Musk, pretty smart guy, big understatement. I mean, I think he's a brilliant guy, and I think arguably is certainly a visionary and maybe even a genius. he talks about this issue, and it's interesting because people say, oh, why is he talking about this? By the numbers,
yes,
it is a huge crisis. It is a huge problem. By the numbers, it is a massive challenge for developed countries.
And countries that are very different, right? Like Italy and Japan don't necessarily have, to my knowledge, a ton of cultural similarities. Both of their populations are collapsing. And so I'm talking about human civilization. We may have already peaked at the population of the world. And in your grandkids' lives out there, we may half the population of the world. So for everybody out there running around like, oh, climate change is an existential threat. Like if you look at trend lines, people are not having kids. They are not replacing themselves. Humanity's population is actually over the next 100 years potentially going to collapse. That's what I'm concerned about. And maybe I'm a rarity here. Anyway, more happily, I want you to go download Prize Picks, and I have got a winner for you tonight. The Sweet 16 is going on, Buck. We got 4 great college basketball games taking place, and I have got a winner for you. We hit on 3 of the last 4. I'm going to give you picks today and tomorrow. Go to prizepicks.com/Clay. Use my name, Clay. You put in $100, you get back $100. Here's my picks. Chase Hunter, more than 14.5 points. Caleb Love, more than 18.5 points. Sears for Alabama, over on points, on rebounds and assist, more than 31, and Armando Bacot, more than 16.5 points. That is 4 different teams, 4 different games. You have the opportunity to hit a 10-1 on this. It'll be up at clayandbuck.com. I will also tweet this out. Go right now. Let's have some fun. PrizePicks.com, 10-1 payout if we hit on that one. The last one, 3 out of 4 hit, and you won some money if you were playing it. Let's do it again. PrizePicks.com. Use my name, Clay. Get hooked up. Enjoy the Sweet 16 tonight. Let's hit on some picks.
From the front lines of truth, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Hey, everyone. It's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. I do think this is really worth drawing attention to. Donald Trump is going to be attending the wake of the murdered New York City police officer, Jonathan Diller. Killer of Jonathan Diller had been arrested 21 times prior to the murder of this young father. Tunnel to Towers, by the way, is going to pay off the mortgage of that young police officer's family. I believe he had a 2-year-old son. 21 arrests. Trump is going to the wake. He was honored to be invited to that wake, he said. Joe Biden is showing up in New York City to raise $25 million, not far from where that murder occurred. And to my knowledge, Buck, no one inside of the White House has even mentioned the name of that police officer who was murdered, Jonathan Diller. I just think that crystallizes in many ways what this race is about. On the one hand, you have a failed president who won't even acknowledge the policies that he has encouraged and put in place to allow criminals to avoid punishment for their violent acts. On the other hand, you have Donald Trump traveling to New York City to go to the wake. Biden's going to be in New York City, but he's raising $25 million. He doesn't even have the time to pay attention to this New York City police officer who was murdered. Again, it is a snapshot of a campaign that is to come, but it crystallizes things to a large extent for me.
I also understand at some level why they would view Biden's presence, meaning the Democrats, Democrat media, would view his presence as some kind of political risk, because all it takes is one journalist to decide to do a random act of journalism and say, what do you think about the fact that this guy was arrested 21 times before and they'd previously gotten him on a gun charge, the perpetrator who killed the officer? Don't you think that the district attorney of New York, a Democrat, failed? Don't you think the mayor of New York, a Democrat, failed? You know, these would be the questions that would actually be asked. If this were the first time that that individual had ever committed a crime, you might say, look, you can't stop all violence. Obviously, you can't stop all crimes. If you've been arrested 21 times and it's only the 21st time when you murder a police officer that law enforcement is allowed to take it seriously at the prosecutorial level, there's a massive system failure underway. And while Biden always pretends like he supports the police, his party doesn't. That's the problem. It's very obvious that Democrats, because of their race politics, refuse to look at law enforcement with open and honest eyes and deal with the rising crime rates in a lot of our major cities and most of our major cities. And so it's a political liability for them. That's the thing. Because at this point, I remember, Clay, do you remember this? For a while, as the crime rates were skyrocketing, they were saying it's because of COVID,
yeah.
Which was... And I don't mean they as in random internet commentators. That was, you know, New York Times, Washington Post. Oh, COVID is causing, which made no sense. If anything, other countries were having huge drops in crime because nobody's right. Interacting and no one's going out the same way. So they've just lied at every step and they've run out of room to keep lying. That's why Biden knows he's not going to show. Also, he would get, this is the part that they really don't want you to think about. If Biden went to the wake or funeral of this officer, there would be some blowback from elements within his own party. Because you know what they would say? They'd say, why is he going to this? Why didn't he go to, you know, the funeral of Breonna Taylor? Why didn't he go to the, and by the way, maybe he did, I don't know, but why didn't he go to, they'll name some victim of police violence, right? Because they view this stuff as zero sum. They don't view it as we can just be opposed to violence across the board and want to keep everybody safe. That's our position.
And it also just reflects one of the biggest issues that we have is anecdotal based media. By which I mean, it's fine to use anecdotes to crystallize larger stories, but they have to be reflective of a larger problem. And, oftentimes in the Biden White House, they focus on things that are not actually emblematic of larger issues because they want to have the identity politics scorecard in their favor. And then they won't even mention Lake and Riley. They won't mention this police officer with the 1-year-old. Again, thank you to Tunnel to Towers and Frank Stiller for what they're doing to help that family as best they can. And I think it's telling that the family wanted, I believe we have a quote here from Caroline Levitt, who's been on the show quite a lot, saying, President Trump is moved by the invitation to join NYPD officer Jonathan Diller's family and colleagues as they deal with his senseless and tragic death. That's Caroline Levitt, putting out that statement yesterday. Again, Biden is in New York. It's not as if he's not going to be there, and he claims to have this connection with everybody over the loss of life of family members because he brings up Beau Biden all the time. But actually, when you drill down to it, in times such as these, he's totally absent. And that's why I think Trump is going to win. Almost everybody who's a police officer is going to vote for him nationwide. Yeah. But also a lot of these union voters, because I think that cuts through too, even though traditionally union voters have been Democrat supporters.
I think it depends on the union. I think a lot, but I would say on the police side, absolutely. And it's because when you're a police officer, and as everyone knows, I spent about 18 months alongside officers of the NYPD in the intelligence division. As effectively a civilian analyst for the terrorism cases that they were putting together. But when you're dealing with police officers, they have to deal in reality, right? They're dealing with reality day in and day out. What's going on the streets? What's the crime level like? You know, what's the threat level in different neighborhoods to civilians, to police officers? How do people react to cops when they're in different neighborhoods? I mean, they're picking up on all this all the time, and the narratives that are out there, I mean, they're running right now. You might have seen this. The problem with reading so much news is it's tough to remember the sources, but it's like CNN or one of these places did a whole thing on, or I think it was MSNBC, same thing, did this. Well, Republicans are talking about how crime rates are rising. The data in recent years tells a different story. I just want everyone to understand, we had the biggest jump while Biden was president. Okay. We've suffered through the biggest jump in, as a percentage, in homicides in, I think, 50 years in this country. Okay. And it's gone up dramatically. And in some places over the last year or two, Clay, maybe homicides have dropped 3%. Or 7% or 5%. And they're saying, oh, well, see, it's not like crime. Well, if you're at a super elevated level of crime, a 5% drop doesn't mean it is not statistically meaningful. It doesn't mean that they've done anything to change it. But these are the ways that they use numbers to lie. And that's one of the things they're doing about the crime right now. They're trying to convince people that the cities are not more dangerous. Subway. You see Mayor Adams? Which day is it, Clay? Is it a Monday or is it a Thursday? Because depending on the day, Adams, the mayor of New York City, will say subway crime is down. And then he'll say a few days later, we've got to get our subways safer. They're not safe enough. Well, which is it?
And by the way, it's also a function, for instance, on the subway, something like ridership is down by half, compared to where it was pre-COVID. And a large percentage of that ridership bailing is because they don't feel safe, and yet the rates of crime have still gone up even with half as many people riding. So a lot of that is true. I believe the data is the largest single jump in murders on record happened from 2020 to 2021, I believe, or 2019 to 2020. The FBI data, And I think it was up 30% in 1 year murders. That's a pretty massive number. So then when you come back,
it basically started with the George Floyd death and then the riots. So it started, under Trump.
To your point, lower, in that year because so many people weren't on the road. So it skyrocketed, you know, even though they were coming off of a lower number.
They went into, by June of 2020, the homicide rate was trending down nationally. And then it went, absolutely went skyrocketing. And then the part of this that should have been clear to everybody is, well, once Biden was elected, there had been a lot of shifts in policy, bail reform. I can actually point to the specific things in different places, you know, changing the amount that you're arrested for shoplifting, getting rid of cash bail, refusing to prosecute for certain crimes in San Francisco, in Philadelphia, in New York, in Oakland, and go down the list in Los Angeles. They made these decisions and things kept getting worse and worse. And under Biden's first couple of years, they kind of continued with it. They're just like, yeah, you know, stuff out there. What can you do? You know, don't complain about it. Don't be racist. I'm like, hold on. What does this have to do with race? They're the ones who always inject race into the conversation about law enforcement, by the way. If you just say, I want the laws to be enforced and I want criminals to be punished, the Democrats are the ones who will start to say that this is unjust. There's disparate impact. And there's a racial impact of this. And you say, okay, well, which one of us is bringing race into it? They're the ones that always introduce race because this should be universally applicable policy, irrespective of race. Enforce the law, keep people safe. You commit the crime, you do the time. Ask every cop knows this. You talk to any cop in any jurisdiction. I mean, a real cop, not somebody who's, not like James Comey, who was a lawyer that they made head of the FBI. I mean, like an actual has to walk the streets and occasionally wrestle some shirtless maniac who's, you know, spitting in people's faces and saying that he's a pterodactyl or something. Ask those cops what's going on in these places. And they all say the same thing, which is that the prosecutors won't prosecute the Patrolman's Association or the union is scared of lawsuits now and yada, yada, all the way down the line.
And it's super frustrating because these guys bust their ass, they arrest bad guys, and then the bad guys are back out on the street almost before they can even get them to the station.
Yeah. Imagine that, but imagine if you've arrested, you're a cop in the New York City subway system, you're arresting someone, and what people don't realize sometimes is, it's same precinct, I mean, you know, these guys aren't necessarily traveling all over the city to do their crimes.
They know the bad guys.
They know the bad guys.
Yeah.
They've arrested these guys before. You go into any precinct, again, I can only speak to New York City, but I'm sure other law enforcement, you know, in cities, these guys have the same, and gals have the same thing. They're like, oh yeah, that guy, you know, that guy again. Cause if you've been arrested 15 or 20 times, guess what? They know who you are. And you can imagine you're arresting some guy the 20th time, especially if he's, making it, a little bit of a resisting arrest situation. People are recording you. You start to be like, what am I doing here? I'm risking my career and maybe my freedom so that a DA can let this guy out in 4 hours. You know, but that's why Biden, Clay, can't, just to bring it all full circle. That's why Biden's not going to go to the wake or the funeral of this officer because he can't highlight this stuff. He doesn't want people to see it. You know, there are important changes, life changing work going on at the Preborn Network of clinics. Their mission is to save unborn children. They've been successful in saving the lives of 280,000 babies since their formation. Every day, the lives of 200 babies are saved. That happens when pregnant mothers contemplating life or abortion meet their unborn child via ultrasound. Because by introducing a mother to her child on an ultrasound, a baby's chance at life doubles. That experience, along with counseling and the offer of support in the way of maternity clothes, baby supplies, and diapers, are all provided without any cost to that mom. One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will help to rescue 5 babies. Any amount will help, and all gifts are tax deductible. Preborn relies on donations from individuals like you and me. They operate without any government funding. To donate securely, use your cell phone and dial #250, say the keyword baby. That's #250, say the name baby, or go to preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn.
You know them as conservative radio hosts. Now just get to know them as guys on the Sunday Hang podcast with Clay and Buck.
Find it in their podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I wanted to take a moment here for a little Florida victory lap. And it's not just because I live in the state of Florida, which I do because of the great things that have been happening here in the last few years, but also because I think it's so important to see that at the state level, governance matters a whole heck of a lot. And also there are things that can be done in a lot of the other red states, in particular, that I think still should be done. You know, there's a lot of work left to do. First off, Governor Ron DeSantis, has had Disney essentially just cave with all the lawsuits. So it's all that Disney stuff. People said, oh, Disney's going to come back and they're going to sue and it's going to be a huge problem. That's effectively over. And I think people are viewing this as a DeSantis victory because he did some things as governor. Disney said they're going to sue. And then they kind of realized, we're not either not worth it or not going to get our way. But either way, they've dropped the lawsuits. There's also a bill that he signed. And Clay, I'm sure you saw this. Social media companies have to comply with the, I think it's called the, COPPA, which is about children online protection effectively. I think you have to be, you have to get parental permission if you're going to have a social media account and you're not yet 16 in Florida. I think that was what the bill says. I might need to check that one in terms of the specifics, but he signed that. Congressional maps, those have been upheld in a federal court, another win. But the one that I thought was the most interesting, some of you may have seen, there's been some stories recently, one notably out in Long Island, where you have squatters who take over a building or, you know, a home, a private home. And in some of these blue states, have you heard this from friends before, by the way? You live in a red state, so you haven't, you haven't really, like in Tennessee, I'm pretty sure it's like, here's my deed, here's my shotgun, get out of my house. Like, it's a very different thing. In New York, in California, Massachusetts, these states have incredibly, they call them tenant friendly, but it's also squatter friendly laws. It is very hard to evict people. So much so that you, and that's, you know, they can just stop paying rent. I think, you know, I've lived in a lot of places in New York City. Landlords have told me before that if you stop paying rent, it'll cost something like 40 or 50 grand in legal fees and like 6 to 9 months minimum to actually get you out. So if you just decide in New York City, you're not going to pay rent, it's going to cost somebody tens of thousands of dollars and probably about a year before they can have you locks changed and you are removed by, you know, law enforcement. DeSantis in Florida has seen these stories. He's like, well, let's make sure none of that nonsense happens here in Florida. This is cut three. I think he was on Sean's show or Jesse's show last night, whichever one of the two. It's cut three. Play it.
What New York does, what California does, Florida will do the opposite. And so the squatter scam ends today with our legislation. And it's important because, Sean, you know, now being a Florida resident, we've got people that will be here for 7 months of the year. And then they'll go to Michigan or New York or even Canada. So what? You come back after the summer and someone's in your house and then they just get to stay there for 6 months. Now in Florida, you fill out a form, sheriff comes, and the sheriff kicks them out of your property.
I mean, it's just the fact, I mean, the fact that this isn't the law in every state, I think is mind blowing to a lot of people. But once you've dealt, I have a friend who owns real estate in DC, Clay, and he said, he went through this exact thing. Guy broke in, got utilities, broke into a house that was owned but not currently lived in, got utilities in his name because he knew it was like a professional squatter situation. A year he lived there rent free before they could kick him out.
I didn't even know a lot of these stories existed, and obviously they're getting publicized now. And it makes me, as a lawyer, want to know the history of why laws like these ever came to exist.
I think the origins of this have to do with land. I mean, if you really go back, it has to do with land use in the earliest days of our republic, and even back when we were colonies. Of like the front, basically, if you had
the frontier taken, was like if you were
exactly.
expanding.
If you had owned, or rather, if you had improved and tilled the land, you know, and you'd been in a place that had not yet been incorporated as a state or a territory, someone couldn't just show up and say, oh, well, in some other city, I got sold this land. It's mine now. I think that's kind of where some of the squatters' rights comes from, but I'd have to go back and scope it out a little bit.
That's crazy if it hasn't ever been updated. Because that would make sense in a historical context. For instance, the Oklahoma Sooners, right? The Sooner nickname is for people who got to the land before they were maybe technically allowed to do so from a homesteading perspective. I think back in 1862 when we passed the Homestead Act. But most of these places would have been well settled by the time that the Homestead Act was underway, right?
Can I just say, your main man, the Buckster over here, kind of nailed it. I had to go back in the memory banks, but it was, Ohio River Valley, 1760s. They started calling them squatters. This is just according to the Wikipedia on this one, but
yeah,
called them squatters for people who showed up and they cleared and improved the land, but had no official title to it. And, this was a big thing. The great Davy Crockett was involved in trying to get land, a big land bill passed that dealt with this issue. But that's where it comes from. But somehow that's translated to, if you move into someone's house, change the locks and get the utilities in your name in a Democrat precinct, you can stay for months, maybe years.
Yeah. And look, New York City was well settled by the time all this is taking place, right? So I understand it for some of the western states, and remember, historically, a state like Michigan would be considered the West. Tennessee, where I live, would have been considered the West. It was a Western theater during the Civil War. But it's crazy to me that these still exist. What I do think it brings home is that no one is better. No one is better in the country right now than recognizing a problem and providing a solution than Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on any statewide level. No one. Now, I think Greg Abbott has done a really good job with the border in Texas, dealing with, frankly, an intractable problem. But in terms of actually seeing problem, addressing problem, fixing problem, nobody's been better than DeSantis. And this Disney story to me is a big one, Buck, because all the left-wing outlets said, oh, Disney outsmarted DeSantis. And this kind of gets into the nitty-gritty of sort of administrative law. They tried to pass, effectively, Disney did, a kind of under-the-radar plan right before DeSantis replaced all the people sitting on this development group. And basically, Disney just threw up the white flag and said, you know what? We were wrong. We're acknowledging that DeSantis had the authority to do what he did, and now we're submitting ourselves to their authority. It's a total win.
And I think it was the Babylon Bee had one of their spoof headlines, DeSantis expelled from the Republican Party for getting too many things done.
And then DeSantis shared it, which was great. Yes.
Well, look, he's still showing we need excellent governors, and he's showing how to get it done in Florida. I think Governor Stitt out in Oklahoma is a really excellent red state governor. I mean, there are a number of governors who are just doing sensible things. You know, they do things. Sometimes it's so sensible that you have to say to yourself, like in this case with the squatting, that wasn't already the law.
Yeah, and it's great point. On Florida, you well know this. It gets really hot in the summer, and a lot of people who live in Florida are not full-time Florida residents. So of all states that would be concerned about this, you really might leave Florida for 4 or 5 months. Same thing, by the way, when it's cold in the winter.
How's your Tennessee governor? I don't want to get you banned from the mansion or anything, but I don't hear much about him.
I like Governor Lee. Look, I think in general, and his term is up in 26, so he's a second term guy. Marsha Blackburn's going to win by 20 some odd points in November. I'm not even sure who's running against her. Bill Hagerty is super. These are the two statewide people, the Senator Hagerty and Senator Blackburn. I think they're doing a good job. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in 26. There'll be a lot of people that are putting their hats in the ring, so to speak.
Because as you well know, especially relative to previous inflows and population size, the big three beneficiaries of red state, or rather red immigration, if you will, or, intrastate movement, are Florida, Texas, and Tennessee. So Tennessee clearly has some good stuff going on as well, because people are leaving New England, New York, New Jersey, California, and moving to Tennessee.
I would say this. What all three of those states have in common? No state income tax. And oh, yeah. You are finding out now as a Florida resident, how much better is not having to worry about state income tax just for you and what you do now?
Well, the savings are incredible relative to New York City. And just also the notion that you don't have to file state and local income tax returns.
Yeah, it's way better.
It's just such an absurd hassle. And this is why, you know, the outflow, unfortunately, for those states, I think is just going to continue. 800-282-2882. We'll take some of your calls coming up here in just a moment. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation continually delivers on its promise to do good and never forget 9/11. They focus on national heroes and the sacrifices they make. Heroes like U.S. Army Specialist James Donaldson. Donaldson suffered a terrible injury when he was hit by an IED in Iraq, losing his legs. Tunnel to Towers provided him with a mortgage-free, specially adapted smart home. These smart homes make it easier to live independently, which makes a difference physically and emotionally. Your donations made that possible. Since 9/11, Tunnel to Towers has been committed to supporting America's heroes and their families, all while making sure America keeps its solemn promise to never forget 9/11 or the service members who have given their lives for this country. It's an incredibly important thing that is being done by Tunnel to Towers on a regular basis. And Tunnel to Towers, I can tell you already, has stepped in because of the fatal shooting of Jonathan Diller, and they are providing his family with assistance and with a mortgage-free home. So this isn't something that's just conversational, historical. This is in the now. They're doing things right now. That officer's family, think about the trauma that they are going through. Think about what's been done to his family, his friends, his community, and Tunnel to Towers is stepping in, using your dollars to help Officer Diller's family. And that just happened a few days ago. That's how important the work is that they're doing. When they are needed most, they are there, and Tunnel to Towers takes action. T2T.org is the website. Clay and I both donate every month. Please join us. T2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar you give goes directly to their programs.
Sometimes all you can do is laugh, and they do a lot of it with the Sunday Hang. Join Clay and Buck as they laugh it up in the Clay and Buck podcast feed on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Nowadays, $20 barely gets you a burger and fries or maybe a quarter tank of gas. You know what it will get you, though? For $20 a month, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from my cell phone company, Pure Talk.
You'll get the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. The average size family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can keep your cell phone number and your phone, or get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids.
Make the switch today and save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company who shares our values, who supports our military and veterans, creates American jobs, and refuses to advertise on fake news networks.
Go to puretalk.com/clay to switch today so you can actually afford that burger and fries. That's puretalk.com/clay.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome in, hour number three, Thursday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Encourage you to go subscribe to the podcast where you can get this show as well as our guest that we're about to bring on, Carol Markowitz, Tudor Dixon, lots of different great podcast-related offerings that are unique there. Buck does a show that is unique there as well. Lots of you downloading it, also waving and saying hi. You can watch us for 3 hours every day, and occasionally Buck will lift Ginger, Australian Labradoodle, Golden Doodle. What's the Australian Labradoodle, right?
Australian Labradoodle. She's at the mic right now. Maybe she'll make a little noise. Oh, she's...
She is very, very popular, well-received on video. Many of you watch every single day on video. We appreciate you who watch there. You can send VIP emails when you are a Clay and Buck VIP, and you can get 3 hours of me and Buck doing a radio show on video. We bring in now Carol Markowitz of the Carol Markowitz podcast. And Carol, I actually want to start with a question for you. I shared it yesterday. You write at the New York Post, but you also have a Substack, and you wrote kind of a long form rumination about the conversations that Jews in America are having in the wake of October 7th. And this has been something that we've continued to talk about, the political realignment to the extent that it has occurred in the country among Jewish voters. How would you assess the mind of Jewish voters now? I read on the Sunday New York Times had a huge article about the future of Jews may not be traditionally with the Democrat Party anymore because it's the kind of the theme of the article was it's a time for choosing. You can't necessarily be a liberal and a Jewish supporter of liberalism as might well have been connected in the past, given the amount of Democrats supporting Palestinians.
Yeah. Well, hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, I have been hoping that Jews would move rightward for a long time because history didn't begin on October 7th. Anti-Semitism in America didn't begin on October 7th. And what I've seen over the last decade is it's all coming from the left. Yes, does the right have a couple of, you know, frog avatars on Twitter who say ridiculous things and target Jews? Of course. But they're all anonymous and really small accounts, and they do it because they get a rise out of people. It isn't people in Congress like the Democrats have who are targeting Jews. So I have hoped for a long time that this shift would happen. I think it is happening, and I've seen it over the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years happening. I think that Jews went more than ever for Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida the last time he ran for governor a year and a half ago. They voted more for Donald Trump than they had voted in the past. We're in like the 40s now, percentage-wise. And I think that if you look at the numbers of the last midterm election, I think it was the Jewish vote on Long Island in New York that swung the House to Republicans. So the times they are changing, maybe not as fast as I would like personally, but I'm seeing it anecdotally all around. I'm seeing Democrats, you know, Jews who always voted Democrat really taking a good look at what that means and what they will do in the future. I would hope that they would rethink a lot of their political philosophy, like their support of things like DEI should be the end here. But, you know, it's hard to get people to really rethink everything, and I hope this is the first step right now.
Hey, Carol, appreciate you being with us. I wanted to ask you about the situation in New York. It's really two things coming together. One is you have Daniel Penny facing trial. And people are connecting this to, you know, just for review for everyone, he's the Marine who stepped in when an individual was threatening people on the subway, put him in a chokehold. That individual died subsequently to being put in the chokehold. But that's happening. But also women are randomly being punched on the streets of New York City. There's been some press about this down in Lower Manhattan. They're just getting punched in the face by some stranger. And some, I think, member of the city council said, why aren't men doing something about this? And you might have seen the tweets all saying, because you lock them up.
Yeah. Well, yes, that's really it. Councilmember Amanda Farias, she's the majority Democrat council member on the New York City Council. She said, where are the men calling this out? Well, there were men calling this out, and there were men who would be willing to step in between a woman and a man trying to punch her. But after Daniel Penny got arrested, I have heard from so many New Yorkers, I'm not getting involved. That's crazy. I'm not getting involved. I'm not risking my life to protect other people on the subway. And the thing about New York was that we always counted on strangers stepping in. That was what made New York amazing. I think after 9/11, everybody always wanted to be a hero. And I think that what we've seen is when you target the heroes, when you put them in jail, when you have people like Daniel Penny who are willing to risk their own lives to help a train full of people, and you see him get arrested and you see him be charged, why do it? Why would anybody do it? And I have to tell you that I feel like a genius every day for moving to Florida. New York is just cannot dig itself out of this, you know, pandemic era slump that it's in. They can't do the most rational, sane things. I feel so sorry for the people in New York who are trying to vote themselves to sanity, who do try to make their city a better place because they're faced with the Amanda Farises of the world who do nothing to make the city better and then complain about men not stepping in.
Carol, what do you think? We talked about it a little bit earlier in this hour, but Ron DeSantis basically spiking the football on Disney. Front page, yeah, by the way, of the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal today, as they're doing my pregame reading. What's the reaction? You're down in Florida now. Mm-hmm. You heard all the people out there who said, oh, Disney's going to win this. DeSantis has no leg to stand on. And then Disney basically waves the white flag. Is this over between DeSantis and Disney? Is Disney trying to avoid the cultural battles? Or do you think this is just a battle won for now, but the war wages on?
No, I think that this is the end. I think that in the settlement, Disney, you know, agreed to dismiss multiple lawsuits that they had. And I really do think that this is, I mean, I at least I should hope so. To me, I would really hope that this is the beginning of sanity, of Disney coming back to sanity. Nobody wants to hate Disney. No, you know, I grew up with Disney. All of us did. And we all want to take our kids to Disney World and we want to do things like that. But Disney has been sort of the enemy of families for the last few years. And I hope that this ending of this battle with Governor DeSantis and this ending of trying to have their own, you know, Reedy Creek Improvement District, I really do hope that the company realizes that they've made some serious errors and they reverse themselves and they go back to the vision that Walt Disney had of family-friendly entertainment, not indoctrination, you know, really wholesome things that you could put the kids on for the kids and just know that they're not going to be indoctrinated by some crazy leftism. I hope that this is the beginning of the road back for Disney. I really do.
We're speaking to Carol Markowitz of the Carol Markowitz Show. You can listen to it on the Clay and Buck Podcast Network, which so many of you are already doing. We'd invite you to join by subscribing. Download the iHeart Radio app. Look at Clay and Buck. Subscribe. Carol Markowitz Show will be right there. Carol, I want you to weigh in on something. I got really, I was surprised yesterday. Got a little bit heated, got a little bit controversial. People who are commenting that Travis Kelce has a dad bod. and also I would say a lot of people very critical of Taylor Swift in a bathing suit. Clay, it was pointed out to me by Carrie, they invited the photographers to take photos of them.
Is this true?
They invited the photographers.
Is that true, Carol? Is that I rescind all, like, if you choose.
Clay was flipping out. He thought they were like in ghillie suits, you know, like a sniper, but with a camera.
Well, I don't think there should be secret photos taken of people on vacation.
Yeah.
If they
were not secret.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about the part about them inviting them. You know, I don't know about the photographer part, but the idea that those two people don't have good bodies, like what lunacy are we living with on the internet? I think people have really lost it. He's a football player. She's in fantastic shape. I mean, we've gotten to where we're so used to these over-filtered bodies and faces. We have no idea what people really look like anymore. And I mean, come on. When Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are not good looking anymore, we've really lost it.
Well, this is what I mean. I mean, I think that social media in particular has created, and really I blame Instagram, you know, Facebook is where you like you know, show the jam preserves that you're making and, you know, your grandchildren. Well, Instagram is where people put the, Instagram is where you put your thirst trap, right? Instagram, which is, for those who don't know, that's when ladies all of a sudden have like a photo of them in very revealing clothing and they just see all the comments. That's called a thirst trap. Or I guess maybe Ginger when I hold her up. That's a thirst trap too. But anyway, the truth here is that I think people are losing sight of, well, first of all, what's important, but beyond that, what's normal? And I'd also say, Carol, you know, I think that I always think you have interesting takes on aesthetics. I understand people could have different views of things. I also think that plastic surgery, maybe just because I live in Miami, it's just getting completely out of control though. And the people you see in the media are also getting completely out. We're not talking about a little snip or a little, you know, change here or there. Like everyone's walking around like they've got this plastic face now full of all this puffed up stuff.
Right. I do not like it. Do not approve at all. That's really it though. It's the fact that we're not seeing real faces on social media. And you know, Facebook is the last place you could see real faces. You could see your grandma's face.
Yep.
So, I think people have forgotten what people really look like.
So, the data, you've got, I think, three kids. I've got three, Carol.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't think we've asked you about this, but when you see the gap in happiness between in America right now, between people who are 60 plus and people who are under 30, how do we fix that? And a part of it is generational, but, you know, people as they age tend to get happier, but never in American history of anybody living right now have people under the age of 30 historically been as unhappy as people say they are under 30 right now. How does it get fixed?
Wild. It's so wild. And, you know, they also have the most that anybody has ever had in human history. They're like the luckiest, most blessed, most
correct, living
these abundant lifestyles, and they're unhappy. It is partly social media, absolutely, but partly that they have no strife. They have nothing to struggle against, so they invent problems for themselves. I mean, just the fact that so many of them don't sleep at night because of climate change, like they've been told to worry about something that is ridiculous and they can't solve, and they should be getting a good night's sleep and not thinking about it at all. But like these kids are so lucky. I always say, you know, I don't know what my kids are going to turn out to be. I can tell you they're not going to be communists. They're not going to hate America. And they're going to feel lucky and blessed for their lives because I've spent, you know, their whole childhoods telling them about how my life could have gone in the Soviet Union, how my poor childhood in Brooklyn, how it's not like this for everybody and that they should feel lucky every day. I have them say thank you to military and police and firemen when they see them. I my kids are going to be full of gratitude no matter what happens. That's really my main goal.
Yeah, and I think that, Carol, increasingly the data reflects that people who approach life with gratitude, but also with a sense of purpose that is externalized, like doing things for others, helping others, that I know that it can sound like something that, you'd get from like a Hallmark after school special or whatever, but the data about people's self-reported happiness shows that the more you externalize your purpose and get beyond, say, the narcissism of Instagram filters and all the rest, to bring it full circle for a moment, the more likely one is to continue to be happy and to feel good about their day-to-day.
Yeah, having kids volunteer or really do good work is so important. I think that we really overlook that. We give kids these easy lives that make them not appreciate what they have. Again, I don't know. I don't know how my kids are going to turn out, but I'm going to instill that they have to appreciate everything they have, that they have to work for everything they have. It's definitely the way to go. I know you guys interviewed Abigail Schreier, her book, you know, Bad Therapy, so much in it about not focusing on all your problems, not being mired down in the minutiae of your life and thinking that you're so important and that everything bad that happens to you is unique to just you. It's so important to get kids out of that headspace. I think that, you know, you have to raise kids who are not going to be indulgent and full of themselves. And that's really priority number one.
Carol Markowitz, everybody. Check out the Carol Markowitz podcast. Wait, you launched a Substack too, right?
I have a Substack. It's carolmarkowitz@substack.com. You know, the kids are into it, so I'm thinking I'm going to give it a try. We'll see how it goes.
Well, we'll have a bunch of everyone listening subscribing to help out. Thanks so much, Carol.
Thank you.
To talk to you.
Thanks, guys.
So look, if you missed it, sports prognosticator extraordinaire, Mr. Clay Travis himself, that's right, the other guy here, he shared his player picks on Prize Picks in hour one, hour two of this program. Was it hour one? Hour
both
one.
Of them. Hour oh, one both. And hour
and two. And hour two. There we go. Never fear, though. We are posting those picks up on the website if you missed them, clayandbuck.com. Right now, you can go hear Clay's picks or read Clay's picks for Prize Picks. And you're going to want to download the free Prize Picks app, the number one fantasy sports app in America. It's so much fun, particularly on days like today when the 2024 baseball season kicks off. Basketball and hockey, of course, are continuing, and there's another week of March Madness activity going on. This is the perfect time to download the Prize Picks app. See why it is quickly becoming America's number one fantasy sports app. Prize Picks has more than 3 million active members. It's the most fun sports app to play on. All about the players, not the teams. Focuses on hundreds and hundreds of players every day. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players, and you just make one decision. Will they have more or less than the stat shown on Prize Picks? I've been doing it. It's so easy and it's fun. And you got Clay giving you great picks, so you can make some great money. Get in on this action in more than 30 states right now. Prize Picks will give you injury insurance too, so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the Prize Picks app. Open your account today. Use name Buck. That's right. Download that Prize Picks app account and use my name Buck. When you do, you'll get a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks app, download today. Promo code Buck. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
24 on new podcast from Clay and Buck, covering all things election. Episodes drop Sundays at noon Eastern. Find it on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie, because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.